It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And this is the Escape Artist Podcast of DonkeyJawProjects.com. How you guys doing? I'm doing all right. Been pretty busy. My buddy Will has been back up again from Long Island, hanging out with us for a couple weeks. Actually, he's going home today. So I've been kind of busy doing stuff, you know, hanging out with him and the wife and, you know, kind of finishing up the whole holiday season stuff. and doing a lot of battling and fighting with the old computer. I got it all like reformatted and everything, and you know, saved all my stuff, and that, you know, went well, but now I'm just having like some weird problems. Like it's weird how you buy a computer and you own the computer, and somehow when you have the computer, you are not considered the administrator of the computer. So like I have all these things always asking me permission, like I have to get administrator permission. Sometimes they give you the option to, you know, continue, and sometimes they don't. And so there's some weird things, and then there's some situations with my audio where it's like not doing some of the, like, there's a function where you can record like anything that comes out of your speakers. If you go into like the control panel and your sounds and everything, and you can enable recording from like your speakers, but for some reason that option isn't there. And I don't know if there's a driver that's missing or what, but it's just like I need that. I use that a lot to record, like, stuff from YouTube and whatnot, or just music or whatever, to sample for making beats, which is something I'm doing a little bit of, that I need to do a little bit of, because, I don't know, you guys don't really follow my music stuff so much, but, if you do, the crew that I'm down with, Shadow of the Locust, we are officially working heavy into the production of our first full, like, crew album. We've all had a lot of albums, you know, separately, like, as solo artists. But we never actually, even though we've been a crew for a long time, like, I mean, before I joined, probably, like, 20 years. But I've been in it for probably, like, I don't know, 15 years or something, but we never actually did, like, an actual full, like, crew album, even though we've been on each other's songs all over the place and stuff. So we're doing that, and we have a, I think we're releasing it in May, I think he said, is when we're releasing it, so we got, like, 5 months or something. But you know, we've already got a lot done, but there's still a lot more to get done, and there's just so much that goes into an album, and one of the biggest tasks is actually mixing it, which, you know, takes a lot of time, so, but we need to get stuff recorded, too, and anyways, there, we need some more beats for a couple more songs or whatever, and I wanted to try to, you know, put my hand in with some production, because I haven't yet, and yeah, so that's one of the things. But I mean, there's just a lot of stuff I'm doing a lot of helping out a lot with promotion for the album, because I'm probably the only one who's like taking a lot of time to learn about that stuff, so you know, I figured I might as well, you know, help out in that way. So I'm doing that, and And then also I'm trying to do these videos, you know, with the YouTube videos. I mean, I'm not going to really get, like, one done every day. It's just, I just got, especially with this Locust project going on, I'm just not going to be able to. But I'm going to try to do a lot. There's definitely going to be, like, a few a week, every week, for sure. And some of the stuff I can double up on, I'll do some art for, you know, the crew, and that can also be a video for my own site and stuff like that. I'm also going to start doing, like, marketing videos, sort of. Not marketing, but just, like, kind of stuff like I talk about in this, but, like, shorter tips and stuff, advice, just like I kind of did with the Plex Beats stuff. So I'm just going to be doing some of that, too. So there definitely will be a lot of content coming from me through Donkey Jaw Projects, obviously the podcast. One cool announcement that is kind of new is that for the first time ever last week, last episode, I uploaded that to YouTube with just like the art, you know, for the Escape Artist podcast art or whatever, and then just the audio. So I'm going to try my best to just keep uploading these to YouTube, and I'll probably put some of the old episodes up too, like the best ones and stuff. So those will be going up, and I don't know if people will listen to them or not, but I know I've listened to podcasts on YouTube. Sometimes that's the best way to do it, or sometimes that's the only place it's available. So I don't know, people seem to watch long videos more than you would expect. So I don't know, I'm just putting it out there as, you know, it's good to be everywhere, you know, you possibly can, and I'm already uploading a lot of videos, I might as well throw those up there too, and have, you know, a presence for Escape Artist on there. But yeah, I'm also going to be doing like little short videos too, so. But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been working on. Still fiddling around with like different thing ways to like upload videos for like art. Trying to record stuff on my phone, and I don't know. I really need to invest in some equipment is really what the issue is, but I don't have the money. So I'm kind of doing what I can with what I got for now, but I'm really hoping to level up with the equipment in music and art. One of the biggest things, the kind of core to it, will be saving up for a Mac, laptop, whatever they're called, MacBook Pro or whatever they're called. And, you know, I want to get, you know, it'll probably be, I can't imagine paying more than $2,000. I'm really probably trying to go more around the 1,000 range, but we'll see. You know, that might not even be an option. I don't even know. I know they're around 1,000 or more, so. So we'll see how that all works out. I know you can get, like, older refurbished ones and stuff, which is an option, but I don't know. I mean, does that make sense when, like, everything with computers gets so obsolete so quickly to get a refurbished computer? I don't know. And I want whatever it is to last. But, I don't know, paying full price maybe is the dumb thing to do, so. You know, the people, there's that old adage where people say, you know, don't pay, never pay full price. Which, you know, probably somewhat good advice, but at the same time, if it's between paying for something that'll help you and not paying and not getting that help, sometimes maybe paying full price is okay if you have to. So, you know, we shall see how that all works out, but I need to get that. On the short timeline, I had a bunch of money kind of started to be saved, but then my tire blew, so I am going to have to use at least some of it, if not all of it, for that. I mean, I already actually used 100 of it, for, I had to get this, like, fold-out futon, couch bed thing. Actually, it was like 125, but I, you know, I have my buddy over all the time, and sometimes, you know, I want to, like, have our nephew over or something to, you know, we'll watch them so the my sister and brother-in-law can get out, you know, and have a night out or something. But we haven't really been able to do that for a lot of reasons. But, like, one of the things is we don't have, like, a place for anyone to sleep. So, you know, we've had these air mattresses, but the cats keep popping them. So, you know, I just keep paying for air mattresses, and I knew there was, like, this futon thing I could get for, like, $100. So, I mean, the amount I've probably paid for air mattresses, I could have gotten, you know, this futon thing, because the cats keep popping them, and we keep trying to keep the door closed, but, you know, people aren't always good about that. I'm not always good about that, so it just, it's hard to, like, keep those things, you know, keep the cats out and stuff. So I ended up, I wanted to get it anyways. It was just, you know, it would be nice to have that in that room anyways. And I need to update a lot of things with our house and things like that. So that was just one thing. And it was like, you know what, we got the extra money, and I don't want to keep buying air mattresses. Let's just get this thing, and it'll be more comfortable for guests. So that is awesome. Like, I'm actually pretty excited to it's such a small thing, I know, guys, but, like, for me, it's a big deal. So, yeah, I also have to get, I might have to get an interface for my computer for the audio, because, like I said, certain things aren't working. My Pro Tools isn't working, which means my M-Box isn't working, which is the interface for the audio, which means I can't record, and I need to be able to record for a lot of different reasons. So, I might have to buy a new interface, or I might be able to get Pro Tools working. If I could get Pro Tools working, or... you can get these M-Boxes working independently of Pro Tools, supposedly, but I've never been able to. Like, I've tried to upload the drivers for that, and it just has never seemed to work. But now that I reformatted the computer, maybe something switched around and it'll work. So I gotta try that. A lot of this stuff has to happen very quickly, because, like I said, we have to get this, all this initial stuff done with the album, so that it can get all mixed down and everything. And there's so much that goes into, like, putting out an album. It's crazy. So, you know, it's going to take, like, 5 months is going to be really pushing it. Like, we got to really work hard to get this done. So, it's going to be an awesome album, though. Everything, you know, from I've heard so far is really awesome. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know if you guys will be into checking it out. You know, that would be cool. If you want to see any progress or hear any other of our music or anything, locustfist.com is our website. It's been up for a few years now. It's actually, there used to be an older website that was called that too a long time ago, and there was a big gap between that website and this new one. So, but yeah, we got music up there and all that, and, if you want to check us out. So, I guess we'll kind of get into some topic. I'm going to have to pause it in a minute, but basically, I don't know, I guess I just wanted to kind of riff on a few things I've been thinking about. I guess I'll start with yesterday. I got this book. I posted it online. My aunt, or I don't know, my in-law aunt. Aunt-in-law. She, you know, she realizes that I do art and thinks that I'm good at it and stuff. And so she sent me this book that she bought for me. And it's, you guys probably have seen it or heard of it. And I don't even remember what it's called now that I'm thinking about it. But it's like this artist and graphic designer book where there's some just stuff about, you know, the business of being an artist, being a freelance artist. And, you know, but the bulk of the book is listings of, like, magazines that you can submit your art to, galleries you can submit your art to, different companies and things like that, where that are, you know, companies that are accepting art. And it's the 2015 edition, so it's the most updated version. So, you know, I got that in the mail, and my first reaction actually was kind of negative. Not ungrateful, like, I'm totally grateful, you know, if anybody, just even the thought, it's the thought that counts. But at first it was a little negative because I've kind of come to a place where I'm like, I don't know that I even want to do illustration work or, like, work for hire like that. Because I just see everybody around me struggling with that, and it seems like, you know, do I really want to subject myself to what seems like basically abuse, you know, from people who are quote-unquote hiring artists, you know? But then, well, first of all, my buddy Will, he's also an artist, and he saw the book, and he knew what it was right away. He was like, oh, that's a good book. You can, you know, it's really helpful and useful, and things like that. And I was like, I don't know if I want to get into commercial stuff. He's like, no, man, it's really good. You should just definitely, you know, use that, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, well, let me look at it. And I, you know, I did look at it, and I was like, well, if anything, there's articles about, you know, business and stuff with the art and arts and stuff. And so I'm like, at least there's that, you know, I love learning, you know. And then I'm like, you know, I mean, you know, I don't need to necessarily close myself off to that 100%. And, you know, there's galleries and, I don't know, magazines might be kind of a cool job. So maybe I could focus on some specific things that I might enjoy doing. But I don't know. So we'll see. So what I did was I pretty much read almost all, not all of it, but almost all of the stuff that wasn't, you know, just listings. I read, you know, pretty much that last night when I got it. And, you know, there's a few articles I didn't catch, but a lot of the stuff was just instruction on business and the legal things and the rights, you know, the copyright-ish things, you know, you have as an artist. And it was really, it's the kind of stuff that I have often, like, just kind of pushed to the side, even though I know I kind of need to know this stuff. But, like, some of the nuts and bolts of just running a business. I get into the theory of running a business, and I get excited about the entrepreneurial, you know, type of stuff and marketing and all that. But there's a bunch of the legal and just the mechanics of running a business and organization and things like that. A lot of that stuff I often ignore because it's just not fun. So, but I know that I need to figure that stuff out. So I was reading, and, you know, it was really cool. Like, I actually enjoyed it. I was getting kind of excited last night actually reading it, because I feel like some of those nuts and bolts things will puts you in a mindset to think more correctly about what you're doing with your art and your music and whatever it is you're doing. Like, when I say correctly, like, treat it like a business, basically, is what I mean. And not, a lot of the things I see people doing and a lot of the things I have done up to this point, probably a good 70% at least has been really more just on a hobby level. Even though I try to make it a business and I try to do things, it really is like almost like when you look at all the other stuff, it's almost like I'm not taking it serious, even though I feel like I am, you know. And I guess what I always kind of have in my mind is that if I start to get a little traction, that's when I'll take it serious. That's when I'll like buckle down and look into, okay, do I want to like create like an actual, like, I don't know, business plan or like, you know, structure it in a certain way. Like, there's legal structures like the LLC thing and all that stuff. Stuff that I've done some reading on here and there, but I still like am pretty ignorant about, I guess. So I just kind of always feel like I'll get to that, you know, when it makes sense. But right now, it's I'm not even making any money, so like, why go through all that hassle? And there is a certain amount of that that's true, like, that I should do, but I've done that for long enough, you know. I need to at least try some of the things that start getting you more into a business mind. And one of the things they were talking about was just like the finances. And I don't know, I was just really glad to at least get some understanding and an introductory understanding of how things work. But you know, they were talking about, and I have to go back over some of this stuff, because just reading it in one night, it was a lot of information. But, you know, they talked about having, like, different folders, like, for, like, income and then expenses and stuff like that. And then actually organizing your client base, which people who even do business, and actually do well with their business with art or music sometimes don't even do this kind of stuff. But it just made me think of the files we have at my job, because I used to work in the office, so I was like, you know, involved in keeping those up a little bit. So I have at least an understanding of how that was organized, and the way they described was very similar. You know, have an order number for each job, like a job number, and then also keep it all organized by client. I guess some people organize it by number, others people, you know, file it by client. So let me just pause. So just keeping organized is like a big key. And I noticed, even, I actually asked this question to some of the people when I was doing the GTS stuff with the beats and all that. And some of those people are starting to make some really good money with their beats and stuff. And, you know, have been out of a job for a long time doing it, you know, independently for a while. And I asked them, you know, how do you have a spreadsheet or anything that you like keep track of clients and contacts and things like that? And they were like, basically email. Like, if somebody emails me, then I respond. Like, that's all it is. Like, and I'm like, okay, so they don't then, basically. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just go about it that way, I guess, for now. And you can kind of start out doing stuff like that, but you know, I saw read this, and I'm like, you know what? This really does kind of help you put stuff, put a, your mindset, you know, into the business mode. Because now you have clients, and you have, like, in the folders, you might have, like, the contracts and the orders and the invoices and stuff like that. And it's, like, more professional. And you don't have to try to keep that all in your head, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things. That's one thing that organization affords us, is we don't have to try to use our brains to keep all that stuff, because we know it's in a file that we can go to quickly, you know? So as long as everything is organized and in its place, you know, you don't have to try to remember stuff, you know, and you don't have to go through, you know, waste a lot of time going through a bunch of emails, you know, doing a search in your email to see if you could find what this person did or that, whatever. Like, you still probably have to do that sometimes for different things, but if you have, like, maybe a spreadsheet or something, which I don't even know how to do yet, but, you know, if you have, and you have files and stuff which organizes all this stuff, then, you know, you don't have to even worry about that, you know, aspect. And it's like, okay, one less thing. There's enough to deal with. So organization and really setting up a system that you maintain is a big deal. Having systems and procedures of how you go about business is also a good thing. Because once you set it, you can forget it. Not really. You'll always have to go, you know, there'll be a lot of times where you go back and you maintain things. And they were talking about budgets and stuff too, like, you know, you need to have a budget, you know, things where your money is planned out. And this comes more in when you're actually getting some income, because you can't really have a budget with no money. So, you know, drumming up the beginning amount of money is the first step. And then, you know, once you start having a flow of money, that's when a budget starts to come in, and you need to allocate your budget, your money. And same thing, you need basically a budget for time. You know, if you're spending too much time doing certain things, you know, you need to kind of allocate different sections and have some better time management. A lot of the stuff I don't even do, because it's just like, I just want to make stuff that people buy, you know, like, keep it simple, you know. But I don't know what it is, but somehow seeing this more as a structure, and if I can set it up that way, it kind of makes me feel like I'd be better off, and I'd be able to utilize the time, like, my resources better, you know what I mean? More efficiently. So all that was interesting and kind of exciting me, actually. And then another thing I've been thinking about is I need to, like, make, I don't know what, how I would structure this. Like, it needs to be a goal or something, or I don't know, but I need to make it a point to, like, be a lot better at doing things for people. There's a lot of times where I've committed to things, and, you know, sometimes I'm really good at getting stuff out really quick, like, I'm focused, but then I'll lose focus, and then something I promise somebody they won't get for sometimes years, and it's just like, that's so bad. Like there's a thing that my buddy Victor, he commissioned me to do this toy of one of his characters, and I was supposed to do a bunch of them, or like four of them or something like that, and then we were going to try to sell them. It was kind of an odd structure, But then I was like, I don't know, it's taking me forever to even do this one. And, you know, I just kept trying to finish the thing. And then eventually I was just like, well, I'm just going to do this one, you know, because I just don't think I'm going to have time to do more. And I'm not even doing toys anymore now. And like, it just went on forever and it's still going on. Like, the thing is like, I kept working on it, trying to finish it. And there was just like one part, like just the sword I had to finish. And it just kept breaking as I was making it. And then another, and then I dropped the toy one at one point, so a bunch of pieces broke. So I had to like refurbish the whole thing. I mean, it was just a few parts, but it was like, now I have to like go back and repaint some spots. I have to actually re-sculpt some parts and then paint them up and then, you know, put the finisher back on and is it going to look right now? And it did get it done pretty good, but then I had to finish making the sword or whatever, and that kept breaking. And it, so now I still have to finish that. It's like done, like it's 100 almost, it's like 99% done, but I just need to throw some paint on there, and then I need to send it to him because he's been waiting forever, and it's horrible. Like, I mean, I could have had it done by now, but I've been focusing on a million other things, and I keep getting distracted. And, you know, I had enough difficulties with it, but if I was just focusing on getting that toy out, I would have had it to him quick, you know, but I didn't. So that's my own bad, but, like, if I was more organized and more focused and had an actual business plan, maybe I'd be better at getting these things done. I don't know, but the point is, I also just finished a piece that I was supposed to do at least a year ago for Nathan Siebel. And, you know, it's like some of these things just slip through and I don't get them done. And I don't want to be that guy, you know, that's so messed up, like, in my opinion. So I have been that guy and I want to fix that aspect of things. So, I don't know, that's just, I'm just describing a hurdle. I don't even have a strategy for fixing that at the moment, but I know some of these things, like, I want to be more professional, and maybe some of these steps, action steps, will bring me to a place of being more professional with that kind of stuff. I mean, it's something that a lot of people struggle with, you know, you see people, even professionals, struggle with stuff like this, so, I mean, I'm not alone, but still, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't get stuff done. That's a reason why people don't get jobs a lot of times, I think, is because they don't know how to get stuff done on a timely basis. It's a big deal. So I'm going to pause it here. So, you know, there's that issue. And then the other thing was that I got from this book was goals. Goal setting. And the jury is still out, I guess, on the whole goals idea. Because, I don't know, I read some, there was one book that I was reading, and they're like, you know, it's, goals are actually not that good, because when you don't meet your goal, you get discouraged, and sometimes to a point where it stops you. And so there's a lot of disappointment that comes with it. Every day you don't accomplish your goal, or you get further away from your goal, every day that happens, then you just get more and more discouraged, and, you know, it can be paralyzing. And what they said instead is to create systems. Because systems are something you work every day, and you're not really focusing on the results. You're more focusing on just doing what you have to do every day. And if you mess up today, it doesn't matter, because tomorrow you just continue, you know. So you're not really worried about the end result as much. So I kind of thought that was kind of a cool way of looking at it, and a helpful way of looking at it. But that was the only person I ever heard that from. Everybody else says you have to use goal, get goals, you know, have good goals and whatnot, and go for your goals. And so, I mean, does that mean? I think it's just take it with a grain of salt type of thing. Like, but you know, this book kind of brought another point to my mind that kind of was more, made more sense as far as goals. And I've kind of known some of these things, but I don't know, it just kind of clicked in my mind, I guess, a little bit. But the reason why, one of the big reasons why goals are important is because you can't really make decisions without them. If you don't have goals, your decision making is just going to be, you know, a lot of waste, really, because in any given task or any given, you know, business or whatever it is, you, there's just a lot of options out there, a lot of choices that you have to make on a day-to-day basis, you know, and if you don't have goals, you can get led astray very easily. And that, I guess, it has to do with the focus issue too, which is obviously, if you've listened to this for any amount of time, you know that that's been one of the biggest struggles for me, is focus. So, and I mean, goals and focus, I guess, kind of go hand in hand, don't they? I've never thought of it that way until now, but you know, that it's kind of obvious. If you think about it. So I guess I really, if I want to have better focus, I need to clearly define my goals. And I mean, I wasn't totally not like against goals or anything before. I just wasn't sure. I was a little more skeptical. Like, I was a little more skeptical of the idea of goals, you know, because I do think that whole idea of creating a system does help. And it's similar to the whole thing I've been talking about a lot with, you know, you don't focus on the money, you focus on doing the things that get the money. Like, you focus on doing the work and serving people and helping people and, you know, making things that are cool and interesting and exciting and entertaining. And the money kind of comes when you do those things. As long as it's in service to some kind of market or need that's being helpful. So, you know, that's kind of the system-based idea, you know, like, you're not focused on the, what, you know, obviously you want to get money from it, but your goals might not just be money either, like, but you want certain results, whatever those results are, and a lot of times we focus on the results. Okay, so how can we find ways to get people to give us money, like, so you end up doing a lot of pulling and trying to get people to look at your stuff, and you do a lot of things that just aren't helpful in business, instead of giving, you know. And when you're giving and doing, creating content that people, you know, are into, and creating a brand, and that's another thing too, but like, that people are interested in and like and trust, you know, that you're becoming a person that people know, like, and trust. When you're doing all those things, then the money, and you have a system in place where people can pay you, which is a basic thing that a lot of people still don't even do, which is crazy, but then the money will kind of come. So it's like, what happens is you, I think you kind of need both, is my, what I'm thinking, because you need to kind of set the goals out and know what you want. And they need to be specific goals, not just like, I want to make more money this year, but like, I want to make in the next 3 months, you know, something realistic. Like, if you've already made, and this is one thing they were talking about, like, if you've already made, if you know that you can make like $300 per painting or whatever, and you know you can get at least 2 sales per month, so you get like $600 a month, which this is not even a business, this is a hobby at this point, because it's not creating a sustainable living, but it, I don't know, it might be just part of your living, there might be other things that supplement, but if you know that, you can make your goal, you know, you calculate that up, okay, so that's $600 for the next 3 months, so, like, that's, what, $1,800 or something? I don't know, what is it, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, yeah, $1,800 is what you'll probably make, because that's kind of what's normal for you. So you make your goal to sell 3 paintings for the next, each month, you know. So, okay, now my goal is to do that, and now I'm going to make whatever the amount is. And so that's my goal. And then you take that goal and you break it down into steps, like action steps. Okay, what is it going to take for me to do that? Well, I'm going to have to set up some kind of system to do my paintings faster, or to do this much marketing that will get me more leads, you know, more marketing or whatever it is that you need to do that will get me more buyers. And so you set up an action plan. So that's where the system comes in. So you need, but you can't really focus your system if you don't have the goals in place. And then you don't have to really think that much necessarily about the goals. You just set it and forget it kind of thing. And then you work the system that is supposed to bring you to that point. You know what I mean? So I guess those things really need to go hand in hand. And to say you need one and not the other is not really the move. And I guess that's what I'm learning from that. So, I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know if that even makes sense. if I explained it in a way that makes sense, hopefully it did. But, yeah, that was something, I think that's something I'm taking away from this. Let me pause it again. So, that was one of the things, and I guess it's kind of good to talk about goals around this time of year. Probably should have talked about it a little earlier, but hey, I'm learning when I'm learning. And honestly, you know, it's funny. It seems like everybody has hang-ups about New Year's, and I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of silly to me. Like, it's a cool time to, like, make some New Year's resolutions. I don't really see why people have issues with that. Like, I don't know. I always hear people, they're like, well, I know it's New Year's, and I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but this is what I want to do this year. Like, okay, so you're telling me your resolution, but you're saying you don't like it because it's cool to say you don't like it or something? I don't know. Like, people swear, I swear, man, people just follow. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so much criticism about people being sheep and stuff. And I mean, and then I hear people who would say that, be sheep, you know? It's silly, like, whatever, who cares? I'm a sheep, I follow and I lead a little bit, you know? It's just the way it goes. And sometimes I follow things a little bit blindly, sometimes I am very cautious and don't, you know? And I think everybody's really that way. If people say they're completely objective all the time, they're either deceived or they're lying. I don't know. We just need to be honest with ourselves and with people. Like, it's just silly. A lot of silly stuff is said at times, in my opinion. But who knows? Maybe I'm an idiot. I probably am. But anyways, So another thing that I was reading that I thought was interesting from that book was, what was it? It was, branding and stuff like that. And they were kind of, and I didn't read the whole article because it was getting late, and I'm like, I want to see what else there is, and like, I want to look at the listings too, and just kind of see what they're all about. And so I kind of read half the article, and I'll go back and read it more again. But I got like one of the basic concepts out of it that was interesting. And it's something I never really heard, but they were like kind of playing branding against marketing. And they were saying that, and that's another thing that people like, they don't like branding, like, and it's just like, everything has to be like a bad thing, like if it's related to businessy stuff. And it's like, if that's your attitude, like artists are very guilty of having that attitude. And it's like, if that's your attitude and you're like all against branding and all against like making a lot of profit or whatever, like business things, like, and marketing and all that, like, it's just, I can't sustain that and try to make a living in art. Like, and then you want to make a living in art. Like, how do you do that and have that mindset? You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to reject kind of that idea because, I don't know, like, there's this whole weird stigma about being, like, I guess a pure artist, you know, who does it for the love. But the thing is everybody does it for the love. Like, you wouldn't do it. It's too hard. You wouldn't do it if you weren't doing it for the love. Like, so why is that even a thing? You know, sellouts and posers and things like that. Like, I mean, I can see it to an extent. Like, nobody likes somebody who's, like, plastic and inauthentic, you know, and somebody who's selling you and on crap, you know, and stuff like that. Like, I understand that. But it's, like, it's such a huge issue that, like, people end up nitpicking to the point where it's, like, you got a lot of people who are pretty darn authentic, you know, people trying to do stuff, and they like cannibalize each other and they get on each other. Like, I hate this. That's one of the things, probably the biggest thing I hate, is how, when it comes to all this stuff, how cannibalistic artists are with each other, you know. It's just, we just kind of like the whole thing with like Jeff Lafferty and stuff, like, the guy, like, calling up companies and telling them, like, that, oh, Jeff Lafferty is drawing your properties and making money off of it and doing prints. Like, first of all, that's kind of a gray area, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, why would you go and do that? Like, I see the person who did that, I guess, was doing it on a licensed level, but it's like, come on, dude, like, you are an artist, you know how hard it is to make a living or any substantial income being an artist, whether you're doing it through licensed, you know, getting the copyright approval, or you're not, it's hard either way, you know. So, like, why are you gonna go, like, tattletale? Like, that just is, like, why are we cannibalizing each other? Like, and then there'll be, not only that, I mean, that's like an extreme case, but like just people even like bitching about it, like, or, you know, telling you shouldn't do this because of whatever, like, get off everybody's nuts, you know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous. So, I don't know, I just got on a rant there, but, so, I guess one thing, oh, the branding thing and the marketing. So they were kind of posing those two ideas against each other a little bit. And basically what they were saying is that if a lot of us try to do a lot of marketing and things like that, and we try to almost use that instead of proper branding. Like, and we try to make up for our lack of branding with marketing efforts and stuff like that. And it won't work. Like, branding is a huge part. Like, that's like the core of who you are. Like, people want to see you. They want to know who you are, and what kind of person you are. And, I mean, what your beliefs are, what your thoughts are, you know, I mean, and it's your, that's your opportunity to kind of put the best version of you out there, you know, not lying and being like, you know, and being like, you know, I'm going to just kind of put out a version of me that just is not authentic. But sometimes you just kind of amplify some of the things that you're strong at. Like, if you're already strong at something, you just kind of amplify it in a way that is seen that way. Like, you just make sure people see the things, you know, instead of just doing it in a way that nobody sees it, basically. So, and then just kind of letting people know this is the thing you're good at. Like, that's what your brand is your unique selling proposition. It's like, this is the thing that you're good at, the thing that sets you apart, the unique parts about you, and that's basically what branding is. And then just kind of having that all work together throughout all your social media and all that stuff, which, you know, that's something I've struggled with a lot, you know, and I've kind of rebranded and rebranded and rebranded, and I'm still kind of sort of an issue with it, but it's just like, I kind of got it down. And I think people who, especially who listen to the podcast or watch any of the videos of me talking or anything, are starting to get the idea of who I am and what I'm into, I hope. But I guess it could probably be stronger. And, you know, the thing is I don't want to start over on all these social media sites, you know, so, but I would have to on some of them if I wanted to have the same name throughout the whole thing, because I set them up at different times. And the thing is, if I start over, then I lose all whatever followers I have, and, you know, I could rename it, but I can't. Like, a lot of the social medias don't allow you to rename certain things. So it's like, how do you rebrand, you know, without totally overhauling everything? And that's kind of what my experiment with Plex Beats was. Like, okay, now I'm going to have like a consistent brand everywhere. It was my opportunity, but it didn't work out. My heart wasn't really in it, so whatever. So so the branding thing has been a struggle for me, because I've always been into music and art, and I've always done a lot of different things in art and tried a lot of different things and haven't done one consistent thing. So I don't know, but Donkey Jaw Projects is supposed to be like the brand, you know, that's supposed to be the thing that encompasses all of that. And I'm kind of trying to put that out, but then, you know, you kind of have to attach your name to the brand. So it's like, is your brand your name, or is your brand your, you know, company? Like, if I just put everything out as Donkey Jaw Projects, it's not personal. It's not very personal. Like, people want to connect with a human being. So I guess it's kind of like this double brand thing. Like, Donkey Jaw Projects is Marshall Kuchar. And then I got the name, like, I'm also Complex in hip-hop circles, you know, it's a thing, you know. So it's like, it's just like impossible for me to settle on how to brand myself, you know what I mean? So I don't know. If anybody's got any like outsider like perspective on that, please help me out. I've been struggling with that from the beginning. But so there's that. But they're basically saying that if you're doing all these little marketing efforts and stuff, you know, without good branding, it's kind of useless, because you're just, it's kind of like building a house on no foundation type of thing. So there's that. So I don't know. there's a lot more that I read, and it was like a ton of information, and, you know, I'm kind of closing this up here, but, you know, we can break it down further as we go, and I'm going to revisit reading that stuff and all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess that's where I'm at. My brain, including family stuff and just the holidays and everything, my brain has been more in a whirlwind for the last, like, month or so than ever in my life. Like, with my mom's health issues and my wife's health issues and, like, car situations and computer things, like, I swear, like, I haven't been able to keep my head straight for a good month or so. And it's been kind of crazy and kind of hard to deal with, you know, but I'm still keeping positive, whatever. And also doing the Plex beats and then going towards, you know, stopping to do that. And then now I got the Locust album thing. I was going to focus just on art, but now I got that. So I'm trying to focus really hard on that and the art. And yeah, I think you can get the picture that my brain has been in a whirlwind, and at least for, I don't know, a couple months or so, it's going to kind of continue to be a whirlwind. And there's other things too, which is crazy. Like all that, and there's other things. Like job situations, like I'm hoping, I don't know, like my sister-in-law is moving, and we were thinking about maybe moving with her, but then I'd have to get a different job, or what do I try to do my art, you know? But I'm not going to try to do my art unless it's something all of a sudden drastically changes, because I haven't made hardly any money with the art, and there's no, you know, you got to at least have some kind of transition, in my opinion, you know? If you see that you're selling like $300 paintings two a month, you know, maybe then you could be like, okay, well, if I really was working 100% every day, then yeah, I should be able to sell four or five paintings or however many it takes, you know, to make an actual living, at least a sustainable living. So, you know, that dream is out the window at this point until I can come up with something that is coming in consistently, you know. So, anyways, that's where I'm at right now. The wonderful whirlwind of Complex's brain, Marshall's brain. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this. I think there's a lot of stuff in there. Hopefully you got something out of it. And yeah, we'll just keep continuing on this crazy whirlwind type of journey we're going on, and see if we can come out the other side with something. All right, guys, thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. And, you know, I don't know. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I'll talk to you on the next Escape Artist.
Background later. Music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.